Our scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before me and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Our movie for this week in our Gospel According to Pixar series is Toy Story 3. I hope that everyone here is at least familiar with the Toy Story franchise. Raise your hand, yes? The basic premise is that toys, when people aren't around, have their own lives and personality. And this particular group of toys has journeyed with a little boy named Andy for all of his life. And by the third movie, Andy is getting older. He's getting ready to go to college, and his mother is after him to pack up his stuff, decide what's going to go to college, decide what's going to go in storage, decide what's going to be given away. And so Andy has to wrestle with what to do with his toys, these toys that have meant so much to him. And he decides that he's going to take Woody, his favorite toy, with him to college, and the rest he's going to put in the attic. But through a confusion, they all end up at a daycare. And so Woody is trying to convince them that they all must go back. They must try to get back to Andy's house. And the rest of the toys are not so convinced that the daycare isn't a pretty good place to be, where there's lots of kids that will play with you all the time. And so our clip this morning is when they have this conflict about where they belong.
Sounds like kids to me.
Oh, I want to get played with. Why can't time go faster?
How many you reckon are out there?
Oh, they sound so sweet.
Look, everyone, it's nice here. I admit. But we need to go home.
We can have a whole new life here, Woody. A chance to make kids happy again.
Why don't you stay?
Yeah, Woody, stay with us.
Come on, what's that?
Get played with.
Can't.
Stay
no,
here.
No,
you can make a new
guys,
kid
really,
happy.
No. I have a kid. You have a kid. Andy. And if he wants us at college or in the attic, well, then our job is to be there for him. Now, I'm going home. Anyone who wants to join me is welcome. Come on, Buzz.
Buzz?
Our mission with Andy's complete, Woody.
What?
And what's important now is we stay together.
We wouldn't even be together if it weren't for Andy. Look under your boot, Buzz. You too, Jesse. Whose name is written there?
Maybe Andy doesn't care about us anymore.
Of course he does. He cares about all of you. He was putting you in the attic. I saw you. Can't just turn your back on him now.
Woody, wake up. It's over. Andy is all grown up.
Okay, fine. Perfect. I can't believe how selfish you all are.
So this is it? After all we've been through.
Bullseye, no. You need to stay. Bullseye, no, I said stay!
Look,
I don't want you left alone in the attic, okay?
Now stay.
Bonnie? Bonnie?
I gotta go.
Let's pray. God, we give you thanks for this moment to encounter your word, and we pray for the gift of your spirit that it would be present in this place, that you would be known to us, that we would be known to you, that this may be a thin place where we may meet one another and grow deeper in our relationship with you and with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Conflict at the center of Toy Story 3 is within Woody, because Woody has a deep and profound allegiance to Andy. Andy's been his kid. Woody's been Andy's favorite toy for his whole life, and he's so important to Andy that when Andy is sorting the toys and he's deciding who's going to go in the attic and who's going to go where, Woody goes in the box to go with him to college. He's taking his favorite childhood toy with him to college, maybe to be a security blanket. We see throughout the movie sort of this fond place that Andy has for his toys, and that they were more than just toys for him. They were a place of assurance, a place of imagination, a place where he was able to sort of seek out who he is and where he belongs. And so we see him put Woody in the box, maybe to take that anchor point with him to college, a place where who you are and where you belong can get mysterious sometimes. And so we see at the beginning of the movie that the toys are in this toy box, and they're wondering, since Andy is a teenager now, if they'll ever be played with again. And just when Woody was beginning to feel like he was losing his place in Andy's eyes, he puts him in this box and reminds him of where he stands in his life. But the conflict is that over time, Woody starts to realize that his bond, his connection to the other toys, is just as strong as it is to Andy. He depends on the other toys. They depend on him. They have this relationship. And no matter how hard he tries, and you see him leave in that moment, he can't let himself leave or be separated from the rest of the toys if he's not sure about what's going to happen to them. In the clip, Woody seems a little obstinate, right? Like he's just had enough of the rest of them. The other toys have found this place that seems like a good home. Now, they'll see after that, if you've seen the movie. Doesn't turn out to be such a good home, because a bunch of two-year-olds run in there and start tearing them apart piece by piece. But Woody still has a point in what he says to the rest of the toys. You belong to Andy. Look under your boot, he says. Look under your paw. Look under your claw. Whatever it is that you have, Andy's name is written there. And he says, we wouldn't belong to each other if we didn't also belong to Andy. The psalmist writes about a God that doesn't always feel very close to us. There are lots of beautiful passages in that pull at the heartstrings that are like cross-stitch worthy. that you might hang up around your home. Why is that funny? You know, it says you knit me together in my mother's womb. You formed my inmost being. You've searched me to the heights and the depths and far reaches of my life. You've always been present to me. And so there's that flowery language that's nice, but then there's other language that talks about the distance that sometimes exists or seems to exist between us and God, in suffering, in doubt. Where can I go to leave your presence? I don't know about you, but I can think of a few moments in my life where God felt absent or felt distant from me. This is what the rest of the toys are struggling with. They feel like they've been forgotten. They feel like they've just been left in this box, and they're never going to have this relationship that they wanted again, and they're ready to give up hope on ever having that relationship again, that they just don't mean what they used to mean. So I might be talking out of turn. I don't know. You can speak up, I guess, I think if you've ever felt close to God, ever, then there has also been a moment when you have felt distant from God. When you feel sometimes so close and so as if God is right there, and then yet at a moment, God seems to be absent. And those always seem to happen at the moments when you are most desperate for God's presence, like when you are grieving or when you are in pain or when you are hoping that things will turn out all right and they don't. And God just feels distant. When the world doesn't seem to work the way it's supposed to work, when things don't seem to happen in a just or equitable way, and those are the promises of God, those are moments when you wonder how close is God really to us. But if you notice in the psalm, the psalmist doesn't spare these moments when talking about how close God is or how present God is. The psalmist includes those moments and says, so like the psalmist says, if I ascend to heaven, then you are there. Well, that's no surprise. That's where we believe we'll meet God face to face. But the psalmist also says, if I descend to Sheol, which by definition in the Old Testament is a place of separateness from God. But the psalmist says, if I descend to this place of death and darkness where I'm supposed to be cut off from you, then you are there too. Even there. Even the darkness, God says, which is this metaphor, even this place where I feel like I am shut off and don't know where I am going, that place is as light to you. There you are. There are with me also. So lots of folks have trotted out very simple turns of phrase or ways to think about this feeling, these seasons in our life when we feel like God is distant. And I remember this church sign in my hometown. Church signs are where good theology go to die, okay? If you ever see a church sign and the theology on it makes sense to you, be skeptical of that. But there was this church sign, and they would cycle these phrases through, and one of them would always say, if God feels distant, guess who moved? Because what you need to feel when you feel abandoned is guilty too, right? Besides that, the simple fact is, from what the psalmist says, that feeling distant from God does not imply actual distance. That even as you feel God is distant, even if you are in the places that we associate with isolation, that God is there too. The toys are marked with Andy's name underneath them. And that was true when they were in the toy box, left alone. And that is true when they're at the daycare and they're being under stress and torn apart. That is true when they find themselves in the garbage truck on their way to the incinerator. It is always true that they are marked by who they belong to. And the same is true for us. That no matter what place we find ourselves in, no matter how separate or abandoned we feel, no matter how close we feel to an incinerator type moment in our lives where things are going to go bad or off the rails, that we are always marked. God is always present, even in the places where God feels distant. So as much as that is true, I can also think of some times when I wish there was some place I could go to get away from God. The psalmist says that too. Where could I go? It's almost as if, tell me, where can I go where you will leave me alone? There was a time, I was about this time, 15 years ago now, good Lord, when I graduated from college, and I wished God would leave me alone and not keep pushing me into ministry. I keep looking still. Sometimes I keep looking for a life of comfort and peace, and I won't have the internal and external conflict I have, the distance between the way the world is and the way God is calling me to be in the world. And God keeps calling me to work and respond to injustice and to oppression and to people who are suffering and to inequality. And sometimes I wish God would let me turn off the news and just be left alone. Sometimes things would be simpler if you could just find a place that feels comfortable. And so what the toys find is that sometimes when you find that place that just feels comfortable, it's maybe not always what you bargain it would be. No, God's claim is on you. Buzz says, look, Woody, the mission is complete. We can just move on. We can get on with our lives, belong to someone else. But what they find is that this life that they think is so great is no life at all. God will not leave us alone to a life that is no life at all. And this is what it means. This is what life is like when you belong to somebody. In this case, that somebody is God. When you belong to God, you cannot get away, and you will not be left alone. God is there and faithful and present. No matter where you go, who you're with, underneath your feet, or in your heart is written God's name. That's who you belong to. In the end of the movie, Woody manages to get things back to the place they had hoped they would be. They manage to all get back to Andy's house, and there's this moment when they're parting, and Woody is about to get into the college box that's going off to college with Andy, and the rest of the toys are getting in the attic box to go up into the attic, and this conflict that Woody is feeling comes right to the moment. He has to decide if it's more important for him to be with Andy or if it's more important for him to be with the rest of the toys. Where does his identity lie? Who does he belong to now? In the end, what he discovers is that what he told the rest of them, he comes to discover that for himself. He says, we wouldn't belong to each other if we didn't belong to Andy. And what he discovers is that he doesn't need to belong to Andy anymore, because he belongs to the rest of them. His relationship with the rest of the toys has become this physical replacement, this incarnation of Andy's relationship. That is, when he is around the rest of the toys, he most remembers that he belongs to Andy. You with me? Am I analyzing this too deeply? No, it's there. It's there. It's there. He is struggling with, at the end of the movie, Andy decides that these toys need to be in a place where they can mean to someone else what they have meant to him. And so there's this beautiful 3 or 4 minutes of filmmaking. We write off cartoons, but it's a beautiful filmmaking piece where he goes to this little girl's house and he walks up and he sees her playing in the yard with her toys just the way he used to play with them. And he sits down with her, and they play together, and he introduces her to all of the different toys and their different roles that they have played in his life. And then he comes to Woody, and he's not sure that he can part with Woody, and he parts with Woody because he can see the joy on this little girl's face. And there is Woody and Buzz and all of the toys, and they have somehow come to this peace laying on this little girl's front porch as Andy drives away to college, putting distance between Andy and them. And yet they have this peace because even there together, they are because of who Andy is. And that's what's true about the human family, that we are because of who God has marked us to be. And so even as we may feel that God is distant, God is always close because we are always together. Us. No matter where we go or who we're with, even as sometimes it seems like God is driving in the distance away from us on the horizon, we are still together. And as long as we are together, we can remember who we belong to. So think about those moments in that psalm where you heard those things that must maybe felt profoundly personal to you. I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know your words before they come out of your mouth. No matter where you go, there I am with you. Those are profoundly personal words that maybe mean something deep to you. Now, remember that just as true as they are for you, they're true for the person sitting next to you. How much different would the human family be? How much different would we relate to one another? How much differently would we relate to one another across all kinds of boundaries if we remembered that the person next to us was also knitted together in their mother's womb? That also, they also have God's name written somewhere in their hearts and minds. This is the blessing that comes with belonging. The toys, Woody wants to remind them, you have a kid. You belong to somebody. So do you. You have someone you belong to. And the grace of it is because we belong to God, we also belong to each other. And that when God feels distant, when God feels absent, God is only as far as the person next to you, who has the same name written right there. Amen.